Hello and welcome to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show for this Sunday evening. And my Sunday night host, or my Sunday night co-host tonight, will be Sharon Brewer. And we've got a lot of interesting things to talk to you about. And they're hooking up with her right now. So while they're hooking up with her, let me tell you guys a story. Yesterday, I've got a good friend of mine. His name's Jurgen, and he owns a company called Yalaha Bakery over in Yalaha, Florida. It's probably the finest German bakery in the southeastern United States. In fact, some of the pastries and the things they make, which are all organic with no margarines or hydrogenated oils, are better than what you'd get in Germany or in Bavaria or even Austria. And so yesterday he was there, and I went to visit him. I try to go over there every couple of months. And he was upstairs. And we went upstairs, and I went upstairs, and he has like an office upstairs. And he was sitting in there. I knocked on the door. He told me to come in. And there were two friends with him that had immigrated, kind of escaped from Czechoslovakia into Austria back in the 60s or 70s from communist Czechoslovakia. And great people, very, very wealthy. The guy owns a hotel in Orlando right next to Universal Studios. And it was kind of interesting because he had just returned from Europe. And he said the immigrant crisis there is absolutely horrific, that the Muslims are basically invading Europe. And he was on an absolute tear. He's in his probably mid-70s. And he was so angry that Angela Merkel had opened the floodgates to allow all of these immigrants to come into Europe. And he couldn't understand how she could single-handedly do that and basically destroy the entire culture of Europe. He said that when he was in Austria, in Salzburg, that it was so bad that the women were wearing the burkas with the eye slits, and they were everywhere. Sharon, you with me?
I'm with you, Ted.
Okay. So I'm going to make sure you're on here so you hear this little story again. And what was interesting, he was just going off and off and off. And he goes, how in the world could this have happened? How could it happen? How could it happen? And finally, his wife, you know, and they were both asking me this. They were just ranting. And finally, I said, well, I know why it happened. And he kept ranting. And he went off for another couple of minutes. And then I said, well, I can answer the question if you want to know why it's happening. And he kept fussing and yelling. And finally, I said it again. And finally, his wife goes, well, honey, let him go ahead and say what he knows, because he says he knows the answer to this. And it was kind of funny. I said, now, I'm going to tell you the answer, but it's going to be interesting because you're not going to have heard this before. So I've got to take you kind of where you are and try to feed this to you slowly, because it's not going to be what you think it is. And they said, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we want to hear it. And then Jurgen said, well, Ted studies this stuff every single day. He's on radio 6 days a week. And he basically has written multiple books. He talks about this stuff all of the time. And he really can give you an insight. And so they sat there. Suddenly they got real quiet. And they said, okay, we want to hear it. And so I started talking to him about the Rothschilds and the banking system and the Rockefellers. I started talking to him about George Soros being a puppet for the Rothschilds, the Rockefeller being a puppet for the Rothschilds, and how all of this stuff was being used together to bring in a one-world global government dictatorship, and how they wanted to destroy national boundaries, and that's why they were implementing all of this into Europe and into the United States. Then I said, and it's really kind of simple, because they want to get rid of national pride. They want to get rid of nationalism. That's exactly what Trump's trying to bring back into the United States. And they were huge Trump supporters. And I said, quite frankly, we've got the criminal, industrialist, fascist, dictator, liar, witch, Hillary, who wants to be part of this and wants to bring our country further down this slippery slope. And I looked at him and I said, it's kind of like this. It's like a giant spider web, but in the nexus of the spider web are the international banking communities and all the stuff that they do with the Rothschilds and the control of the economies. So I said, they're right at the top of the spider web. And then the spider web branches out. So when you start pulling on things like the Bilderberger Group or the Council of 300, they're part of the spider web, but they're not at the nexus of the spider web, because without the money, none of this stuff's going to work, period. Can't happen. And so they were staying with me pretty good. And finally they said, well, why are they doing that? I said, well, because they're evil. I said, they're absolutely evil. I said, you know, the Bible says that light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And, you know, and people would prefer the lie. They'd rather not hear the truth. And I said, the problem with all of this is that nobody really wants to understand how evil this entire agenda is, and who's really pulling the strings on all of this, and how corrupt the Catholic Church is, and how they're trying to bring in a one-world dictatorship with a one-world religion. And then they said, well, who in the world is going to be involved with all that? And I said, well, the Catholic Church you know, not the parishioners themselves, many of them are fine Christians, but the actual leadership has been hijacked, and the Jesuit communists have taken it over, especially the current Pope. And I said, they're going to bring in a one world ecumenical movement, and then we're going to have this giant war that's going to wipe out a big bunch of the population, which is what their stated goals are. And the lady started saying, well, how do you know all of this? And I said, because I read the books they write, and the books they write tell us that this is what they want to do. I said, this is their own goal stated in their own, you know, books. You go all the way back to the general from the Confederate War who wrote Morals and Dogma. I said, you go all the way back and learn, you know, Albert Pike. You go all the way back through all of this stuff. And they go, well, who's controlling this agenda? I said, well, the reality is these guys are druidic. They go back thousands and thousands of years. I've talked about it on the shows. And they go, well, where'd they learn all this stuff from? I said, well, they learned the stuff from, you know, Genesis chapter 6 from the fallen angels. Oh, that was it, man. As soon as I said that, these two got as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. I mean, that was it. They kept asking me questions, and they kept probing into what the answers were. And I just said, and I finally told them, I said, you guys don't want to know all this stuff. I said, you know, you're kind of asking for a doggone fire hose drink here. I'm trying to give you a sip of water. And I said, now I'll be more than happy to talk to you about this stuff, but I said, but I'm going to have to send you some links, and you have to do some of your own research. And then they said, well, how do you know this is going on? I said, well, it's very simple. I said, all you have to do is go to Bohemian Grove, and you just have to see what's going on with Bohemian Grove and Moloch and the 40-foot owl and all the other stuff. And they looked at me and they said, well, we don't believe that's true. And I said, well, I didn't believe it was true either. And I said, but I went and got a book by Helmut Schmidt, who used to be the former chancellor of Germany, called Men in Power, because they had said he referenced Bohemian Grove there. And sure enough, I read the book. He referenced Bohemian Grove, and I thought, wow, I guess this is true. And also Alex Jones, a nationally known radio show host, has gone in, snuck in there, and actually photographed the cremation of care ceremony in which a human being was basically sacrificed in effigy. Now, guys, you got to understand this. These guys are very, very wealthy, really nice people. They're Christian. They're Republicans. They're voting for Trump. But normalcy bias kicked in a way that I've never seen before. Suddenly it was, we have to leave now, and they literally got out of that room so fast. It's like I threw a cat on a hot tin roof. If you don't like that metaphor, pick one you like yourself. Whatever you, I'm not planning on throwing cats on hot tin roofs, you know, but you know, I'm not going to make any more cat jokes, all right? But the only thing I say about cat jokes is toxoplasmosis. You handle a cat, wash your hands. You're pregnant, don't change the litter. Look up toxoplasmosis, and you'll have a general understanding of what I think about cats. But what was interesting about this was I learned again that the mass media has done this massive brainwashing campaign on the general population, in which they've taught the general population to believe the lie. Again, Jesus said, light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. Now, here's the thing. Always remember this. As Christians, because we're under covenant with God Almighty, we have a distinct advantage of understanding all of this stuff. Now, on Friday, I did another show out of Seattle. Oh, my gosh, was it a New Age show. And I had forgotten how New Agey it was. And all I was talking about was Jesus the whole time. I was kind of irritated, those guys. I doubt I'll be back on again. And what was interesting, they were praying to the water in the Pacific Ocean. And I was thinking to myself, because of Fukushima. And I said, finally, I said, look, guys, you know, this is, you know, during the break, we came back and we were talking. I said, you know, instead of praying, I didn't say this on the air, but I said it to the host. I said, instead of praying to the water, why don't you pray to the creator of the water who made the water? And I said, why don't we do that? I said, you know, water is an inanimate object. And I said, so, you know, sure enough, it has frequencies and different types of electronic structures and stuff in it because it's a frequency, it's a generated frequency. And many scientists have shown that. I said, but come on, guys. And then they start talking about reptilian aliens, which is what, you know, David Icke talks about in his book, The Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. And here's how I did this with that book, because that book is really, really good, and I actually agree with about 80% of it. But the reptilian aliens, you got to remember, and I said this on the show on Friday night, when Jesus Christ came, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. But back in the Old Testament, in Genesis, what ended up happening was Satan appeared in the Old Testament to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He appeared as a serpent, as a reptile. And so when David Icke calls, you know, these demonic entities is what they are, when he calls them reptilian aliens or reptilian whatever, so reptilians, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's talking about fallen angels. That's how I can put that back together with Christianity. Now, what's also interesting in the same book that he writes about this, he says that every single time he digs deeper into what's going on in this global thing that's happening, it always leads back to Satanism and to the drinking of blood. And it's what they do in these groups. Now, I didn't tell all these people this yesterday about the drinking of the blood and all that. Once I started talking about Bohemian Grove and about Lucifer running this show, they were out the door like never to be seen again. So either they think I'm totally insane or they'll do their own research. But what I did do with Jürgen, I sent him three links to Bohemian Grove and I said, will you please just forward these links to these folks and let them watch it themselves and give them a little bit of this? And they said, absolutely. Last year, I did another talk show, Sharon. It was one of the ones that I was booked on by a publicity company, and they ended up bringing me on. The guy's name was Josh. It's Josh Bernstein's show. And he was talking about all the stuff that was going on with the globalists. And he's a great guy, does a great show, really good background graphics on the show. And it was funny because I started talking to Josh, and I said, dude, well, have you heard of Bohemian Grove? And he had never heard of it, had no idea that it existed. Finally, he looks it up, did his own research on it. I came back on the next time. He goes, Ted, every single thing you told me about what was going on off air and on air is true. I said, yeah, I know. I said, it's kind of weird that you have to look at it that way, but it's kind of crazy that these guys really, really are doing all of this stuff, and the vast majority of the population, because of normalcy bias, have absolutely no interest in finding out the truth. In fact, it's kind of like this. Many times I remember when I first got saved back in 1979 and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I basically left the lifestyle that I was in while I was at Florida State University in graduate school. And that wasn't a lifestyle. It wasn't a lifestyle of drinking and booze and drugs. It wasn't that. Not everybody at Florida State was a drunk or a drug addict. Okay, I was in graduate school, but I was dating a lot of different girls at that time, and my language was pretty bad, and I really hadn't dedicated my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. So when I accepted Christ, my whole life changed, and it's never gone back. So I've been saved now for like 37 years, and what's wonderful about that is I've never backslid. Now, am I perfect? Absolutely no. And sometimes am I a better Christian than other times? Absolutely yes. Sometimes I feel like Paul, you know, why do I continue to do the things that I do? You know, who's going to deliver me from this? But praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the righteousness of Christ through his grace and through his sacrifice. So we've done shows on that and what the blood does for us. But guys, listen to me. Don't feel as though you're the Lone Ranger when you talk to your friends about what's going on globally. They're either going to get it or they're not. Just like I was going to mention a minute ago, when you can try to talk to people and my old friends about converting to Christianity, becoming a dedicated Christian, either they're going to accept you or they're going to think you're nuts, period. There's nothing really in the middle, or they'll tolerate you and basically remain your friend, but they'll ask you not to discuss this anymore. So I've got a few friends from way back when that are still like that with me, but just a couple. The vast majority of my friends at Florida State simply weren't saved, never got saved. To my knowledge, hopefully they're saved by now. And so my association with them was discontinued. But I just wanted to let you guys know that we're all in this thing together, and we all have to continue to tell people about Jesus, about what they need to get saved, and stand firm in the faith and tell the people the truth. I probably should have just left them with the globalists yesterday and with Soros and the New World Order and the 1,000 points of light speech with George Bush back in 2001 and not got into the Bohemian Grove aspect of this, because that's a little bit too much for somebody who's just wondering what's going on. What do you think, Sharon?
You think?
Yeah.
It is.
But the good news about it, at least I was doing something and trying something, Sharon.
Oh yeah, I know, but it's so hard to stop, because when you get a good response, you think, well, I'll give them more information.
Yeah,
and they get to the point where they're kind of full, you know, their tank's full and they can't take any more, and then they go into overload mode. It's like, because think about it, how long it's taken me. I know back, 10-15 years ago, you had a friend that was talking about certain things. You said, this is too negative, I don't want to hear it. I was the same way with you. And there's a process I think we have to go through. And it takes time sometime. But the thing is, Ted, it wasn't so prevalent and in your face as far as what's going on.
Oh, no,
now it's just, it's out there. And if you don't see it, then I don't know, you're either drugged up or you're not awake. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, also, think about this. The spider web is so intricate that these guys have laid out with all of these interconnecting corporations and all this other stuff. Unless you start really pulling on the webs and following it all the way back to the Rothschild banking cartel and to the central banks who basically get their information from Lucifer. Remember, the Rothschilds say, tell people, and it's in the book, the Bloodlines, that they set a place setting at their dinner table every night for Lucifer himself. And they say that every 37 years he shows up and tells them what's to happen for the next two or three decades. Now, what's interesting about this is most Christians have this really anemic Christianity. They don't understand what the blood of Jesus really is. They don't understand the power of prayer as a scalar wave. They don't get any of that. It's like, you know, with Katie Wayland, she's been completely and totally healed of breast cancer now, totally healed. And she announced that last week. She told me before that, but she asked me not to release it on my show. This is Dave Hodges, his co-host. He comes on immediately after my show tonight. Please stay tuned and listen to Dave. He's a great guy. He's a good friend, and he's a patriot. Oh, man, can that boy write?
He is, yeah.
He can put out some stuff. And Katie told me, when she told me, I said, basically, you know, last year she told me she had come down with breast cancer, and she didn't know what to do. And I said, it'll be fine. And she goes, what do you mean it'll be fine? I said, it'll be fine. I said, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to change your diet. We're going to change your lifestyles. It'll be fine. And she goes, well, what do you mean? It's going to be fine. I said, it's going to be fine. I said, you know, we got to believe. We have to have faith. See, guys, here's the thing. When you have a challenge that hits you in the life, you can either speak it out real negative and talk about all the horrible stuff that's going to happen to you and really make sure you set that energy pattern in place and make sure you do everything you can to force it to happen, or you just realize that God is in charge and prayer still changes things. And that's how you have to do these things. You have to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so many cancer specialists have said, the people who get the cancer, who come into it with the best attitude and expect they're going to be healed, those are the ones that almost always make the recoveries. And what was interesting, she never did chemotherapy. She never did radiation. Never did any of it. And what was interesting is she told the doctor what she did. The medical doctor who analyzed her, you know, MRI, said, you have no cancer in your body. You're completely clear. And she told him, he said, this is a miracle. How could this happen? So she told him, and the supplements that she was taking to strengthen her immune system, and the guy was taking notes. He was actually taking notes. Now, several
that's
things
rare.
She did. And that's right. So several things she did do. She got on our Health Masters immune system protocol, you know, which includes the turmeric, the potassium iodine, the vitamin C, the black seed oil. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do to really build your immune system. I've seen it repeatedly work over and over and over again, strengthen people's immune systems. And then she did some other things too that she talked about on her show last week. But what's so interesting about all of this is that Katie's healed from breast cancer, never did chemotherapy, never did radiation, and she had one of the most aggressive forms of cancer there are. There is. And so by the grace of God, and so right now, Yeshua, Yahweh, thank you for healing Katie. She's a good person, fine Christian lady, and we're blessed to know her, and I'm so happy that she's had a total and complete restoration. I'm so happy about that. So, guys, listen to me. We can either take the negative aspect of everything or we can take the positive aspect of everything. But remember, Katie changed her lifestyle, changed her diet, started taking supplements. Now, she did have a lumpectomy. She did do that, but they did not get the edges out. It continued to grow. And so she basically still had the cancer even after the lumpectomy. So what was interesting, that's when they wanted to go in there and do a full radical mastectomy on her. She told them no. Now, Katie's, you know, in her late 50s, and so, you know, she doesn't want to undergo all of that stuff, you know. But the crazy thing about all of this stuff is, guys, there's so many natural ways to strengthen your immune system. She worked with these medical doctors out there in Colorado that gave her so many tidbits of information and were able to walk her through everything. And also one of the other things she did do, she had vitamin C intravenously, I think twice a week, 50,000 milligrams each time, two times a week. And then she basically, that by itself, according to Linus Pauling, was the best anti-cancer thing that you could do. Now, you have to be very careful with certain words when you talk about cancer. The AMA goes berserk. Now, remember, the whole medical association and the entire pharmaceutical corporations are all in cahoots to promote drugs for all of these different types of diseases. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. And if you get off their track and you don't do what they want you to do, they get angry at you. Or they tell you that you can't do that. Because the only treatment protocols that are available according to the AMA and according to the FDA, et cetera, for cancer is the surgery, the chemotherapy, or the radiation. That's it. You have to go out of country to do anything else. So I applaud Katie for standing firm in the faith And I thank God Almighty that she was healed. Now, here's another article I wanted to bring up real quick. And this is so important because this is going to talk about homicide. This article was just written by Brogan. And she was talking about homicide and SSRIs. Now, these are serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Now, what's interesting about that is that there are multiple people now that have killed their children while taking psychiatric medicine. And, for instance, with a bottle of Seroquel nearby, Sofia Tyanskova was found at the scene of her own children's violent murder in Texas. There is an untold story of the vast, irreversible risks of psychotropic drugs doled out to millions without any rigorous diagnostic procedure, any screening for the risk vulnerabilities, or any true informed consent about what is known about the amplified benefits of suppressed risks. And I wrote a book on this back in 2001, I guess. It was called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disability in Children. It's out of print. It's a great book. You still get it for a penny, I think, online. If you're on Amazon Prime, you'll probably not meet Prime vendors with it, but you can get it for $5, get the book delivered to you. And what it does, it goes into detail about all the shootings back in the 90s. There were all these children in all of these high schools like Columbine that were running around taking the SSRIs and shooting people, shooting their families, shooting themselves, etc. Now, what it does, serotonin reuptake inhibitor is this. You have a brain chemical called serotonin that makes you feel good. And it's in the brain, and it gets reuptake. It's reabsorbed back into the brain tissue, and it's used over and over and over again. But what happens is, apparently, from the research that I've read, is that when you have a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, it stays longer in that synapse than it normally does, and it interferes with the reproduction of serotonin, and it causes a reduction of the amount of raw materials needed to produce serotonin. And when that happens, you sooner or later, in some cases, not every case, when you take these things, you start having massive depressive episodes, and you could snap, killing yourself, killing your children, and you start having these crazy suicidal thoughts. One of the key ways they usually hang themselves, or they shoot themselves, or they'll go sit in a red ant bed. I've seen that too, and just let the ants eat them. And then the girl who did that was hospitalized. And the nuttiest part about all of this stuff, they don't warn you about this when they give it to you, but if you read the black box warning on the label, it warns you about the possible suicide side effects, particularly in adolescents who use this product. Now, everybody's shown who's on the natural fields that omega-3 fats and methylated B vitamins are two of the most important things that your body has to have, especially the B vitamins and the B12, B6, B5, all of these different supplements that you have to be methylated that we have available. And I think it's on our Healthy Brain program at healthmasters.com, that you have to have all of these nutrients in high enough concentration because they simply don't store very well in the bodies. B12 stores a little bit, but most B vitamins are really water soluble. They go right straight through your system. And if you're taking supplements that aren't methylated, about 40% of the population can't take them. You start having schizophrenia and a lot of other different symptoms with B vitamin deficiencies. So instead of treating the problem associated with the depression, they give you a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. I remember one time I had a lady who's come in the office. This is back when I was doing my counseling. I used to see up to 40 patients a day, and her name was Lois. Wonderful lady, and I'm sure she's gone now. May she rest in peace, because she was probably 70 then, and this was 30 years ago. So, unless she's 100 years old, she's gone. Wonderful lady. She had started taking these drugs, and she told me she wanted to cook her grandchildren in the oven. Now, you said, gosh, Ted, I can't believe you're talking like that on the air. I'm just telling you what she told me. And she says she wanted to kill her grandchildren. She started coming up with all these ways of doing it with all this bizarre behavior, and that she wanted to cook them and eat them. And I finally told her, I said, she goes, look, Ted, I got off that stuff. She goes, that stuff was some crazy stuff. It made my brain think crazy things. And guys, listen to me. All of these different chemicals that we're putting into our body with the fluoride, with the immunizations, all of this stuff causes massive, massive psychotic episodes in a lot of people, and it dumbs down the brain. Here's another article from Sayer Yee from Green Meadow, and it goes, are psychological drugs killing at least 5,500 seniors a year? And what he says, that all of these psychiatric drugs that are being given to these seniors are causing dizziness, unsteady gait, they're falling, they have impaired thinking and memory loss, they're trying to drive cars, nausea, diarrhea, sexual dysfunction, insomnia, fatigue, passing out behind the wheel. This just goes on and on and on and on. And what he says is that, it's really important that you realize that psychiatric drugs have a lot of side effects. So I wanted to cover that today and let you guys know there's natural alternatives to the use of psychotropic drugs. And that's a last result. I've got another friend of mine who's my age. I went to college with him, and I was speaking to him this week. And his son basically is 24 years old, and he had basically a breakdown. And they put him on psychotropic drugs. And I told him, I said, dear friend, I said, look, I said, I love you as a brother. I said, you know, your son's a great kid. I said, okay, he's not doing as well in college as he needs to. But, you know, putting him on psychotropic drugs at the age of 24, when we know that things like Xanax are more difficult to get off of, and there's actually deaths associated with them than heroin. And I said, this is a tough road to go for a young kid, young man who's 24 years old. I said, maybe he's not college material. Maybe he needs to go to vocational school. Maybe he needs to become a plumber or an electrician, you know, or an air conditioning repair guy. There are all kinds of natural alternatives to the use of drugs with the vitamin B's and the omega-3s. Just like there's other things you could do with your life besides going and incurring student debt and going to college. I don't know if it's going to make any difference or not, Sharon. It may have fallen on deaf ears. Now, you got a story tonight. What's your first story?
Well, you know, talking about all these things, this just fits right in. Buyer beware. Common laxative has antifreeze chemicals.
Wow.
A popular laxative continues to be wrongly and widely prescribed despite a warning from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, about its primary ingredient. At that time, it issued the warning a few years ago. The FDA declared no further action was necessary. Well, that sounds like them. The drug, the laxative Miralax and its generic counterparts contain a compound of the highly toxic chemical ethylene glycol, the primary ingredient in automobile antifreeze and brake fluid. Meanwhile, pediatricians are continuing to tell families the laxative is safe and prescribe it routinely to infants and children. Now, the pediatricians have been prescribing the colorless liquid as a long-term treatment for constipation in children, yet the FDA has not approved Miralax for a long-term use in patients of any age, let alone infants and children. The drug is only approved for adults and only for 7 days at a time. Children prescribed Miralax became so dependent on the laxative after years of its use, that they were unable to have a normal bowel movement without it. The active ingredient in Miralax is polyethylene glycol, which is an osmotic laxative and draws water into the bowel. Now, the polyethylene glycol is produced by stringing together molecules of the toxic ethylene glycol, the antifreeze. It is so deadly that the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health has issued its own warning that the body breaks the chemical down to toxic compounds. It first affects the central nervous system, followed by the heart, and finally the kidneys. And the FDA, in its early safety alert, refers to it as a neurologic disorder involving the central nervous system, and it including autism, dementia, depression, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, and many other things that are happening. Now, Ted, the thing is first of all, laxatives, especially chemical laxatives, have to be used with wisdom. And as far as giving children this garbage, that's as bad as me hearing that 6-month-old baby came out of the hospital and they were giving it the same thing that these elderly people are having for digestive problems. And what was that drug they put them on for the digestive problem?
It was basically a proton pump inhibitor. I forgot which one it was.
A six-month-old baby. And the reason these kids, these children are plugged up, so to speak, or constipated, is because they have no fiber in their diet. They're not drinking enough water, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, I remember Austin, he had a friend over one time, and I got one of those organic spinach pizzas. And I made it for them, and the kid said, what's on this pizza? And Austin goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, what is this green stuff? He goes, it's spinach. He goes, I've never had spinach. I thought he was joking. I really could not believe that a kid didn't know what spinach was. So, you know, what do we expect? But what do you think about that, Ted?
Well, there's natural things. They can drink more water. They can get more fiber. They can eat more. if you had to, you give them some psyllium seed and mix it with some apple juice and make like applesauce with it. But of course, you can't do that with an infant. Most of the time, if an infant is plugged up, who should be on breast milk, is because they're being put on solid food way too early. In addition to that, it's because the solid food is basically fiberless. So you got to be really careful with all of this. But the vast majority of the time, when you're giving a young infant, you know, liquids to drink, which they should have only like for the first year, they basically just need to either cut the milk if you're using formula with water. But breast milk usually doesn't cause any problems whatsoever with constipation. Now, if they do have a little bit of constipation, you can use a rectal suppository, you know, every once in a while. But gosh, not every single time. And figure out what to do, because a lot of times when you use a goat's milk formula with kids, if you run it straight, they may get a little bit plugged up from it. But you can just start using 50% distilled water and 50% goat's milk. That almost always takes care of it. But the reality is that the vast majority of kids in the country today are eating such a poor diet and taking so many immunizations that their immune systems are shot, their brains are being poisoned, their entire system is basically being compromised from birth on. In fact, it happens before birth with prenatal nutrition. It's so important. I mean, Austin has a baby. He's like 3 months old. His name's Hunter. Beautiful little boy, blonde hair, blue eyes, just like his mommy and his daddy. And what's great about him is he's super healthy and super happy all the time. But this all started with Lana. Before she got pregnant, she was eating clean. And while she was pregnant, she got eating cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, taking more and more supplements. And, you know, 9 months later, pops out a super healthy little baby who did not get the hepatitis shot, did not get all these vaccines. And again, listen to me, guys. I'm not telling you what to do with vaccinations, okay? You already know how I feel about them. You all know that. I'm not going to even tell you not to do this. You just make up your own mind on it. But things like the Gardasil shot that have been linked to so many horrible side effects. Are you kidding? Plus, guys, listen. If a child is going to be going to school when they're 5 years old and they have to be immunized and you're really concerned about it when they go to school, get their immunization before they go to school. Don't give it to them when they're a baby, when they're first born. Just get the immunization when they're 4 years old or 4.5 years old, or right before they start the first grade or kindergarten. That's the ideal way to do this. If you're going to immunize, regardless of what you know about immunizations, which I don't recommend, but that's your choice. And the other thing I recommend is that you get all the research that you possibly can. Now, here's the interesting thing. Obama is absolutely exploiting the Dallas police murders. By the way, the gun that was used by the guy who was blown up by the bomb robot, I'm going to talk about this with Austin tomorrow, because it is so ridiculous to me that this guy's been isolated. He's no longer a danger. He's like trapped in a building. Can't get out. They've got the entire thing cordoned off. There's no way he's coming out alive unless he gives up. And instead of giving this guy due process and holding him over for court and finding out what he was with and who he was with, I'm so over this lone shooter theory that the guy gets killed. Okay? You never hear the shooter talk. You never get to hear what the shooter has to say. It's always like confidential, secret, gag orders, whatever. And so they send a bomb-sniffing little robot in with carrying a bomb. Okay, now I've got a question to ask you. Now this is strange. This has never been done before in civilian law enforcement. Where in the heck did Dallas Police Department get a bomb? Where did they get a bomb? Was it a bomb? Was it a hand grenade? What the heck are we giving these police? They have this type of stuff they can kill people with. This is due process. You know, this guy was just executed by the Dallas Police Department. He didn't even get a chance to surrender. Got to talk about how much he wanted to kill white people. They got to talk to him, and they sent a bomb in and blew him up. Supposedly, that's the story we get, okay? But, you know, where's due process? Now, I know if this guy was guilty and he was shooting cops, that, you know, it would have been an expensive thing. He'd have gone through trial. But at least we could have questioned him. At least he would have had due process. At least he could have gotten the electric chair, whatever they do in Texas now. But the reality is we needed to find out who the other people who were involved with this, because this was a multi-shooter thing. These guys were totally trained. And by the way, the gun he was using was made back in 1945. It was an old military weapon that was bought back in the 40s. It was not an AR-15. It was not an assault weapon that we have today. It wouldn't even categorize itself as an assault weapon. But, of course, the media is not talking about that. But Obama is using this as an unconstitutional expansion of the federal government using the United Nations into local police officers, into local police agencies. I mean, this is crazy. The report is controversial because it advocates the unconstitutional expansion of the federal government into local law enforcement. The role of the federal government is governed by posse comitatus in the 10th Amendment, the later stating that the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited to the states, are reserved to the states respectively and to the people. In addition to creating a law enforcement diversity initiative designed to help communities diversify law enforcement departments to reflect the demographics of the community, the report calls for the establishment of programs that take a comprehensive and inclusive look at community-based initiatives and addresses the core issues of poverty, education, health, and safety. What the heck? The federal government got into education. That's where we got Common Core from. Austin said yesterday or today, I was talking to him, that he saw one of these Common Core questions. It was like 12 times 33, which you can do in your head. And he decided to look at the Common Core solution, and it was like a 10-step process instead of just multiplying the two numbers together. He said he didn't understand what they were doing. This is why they've lowered the actual algebra test at our local college here. You have to take, it's called the PERT test. You have to have reading comprehension, English, and mathematics to get into college to qualify, like in dual enrollment, as a high school student. And the state pays for the tuition for 3 full years for the collegiate child. This is what Harrison did. This is what Austin did. This is what my other children are going to do. Harrison started in 10th grade, passed all of the PERTs, and was able to get, he'll have, by the time he graduates as a senior, he'll have close, probably a little over 100 hours towards 120 hours to graduate with a bachelor's degree. And it was all paid for by the state or my tax dollars and property taxes here in Florida. I finally got some money back from that because all the kids were homeschooled. But what happened is they had to drop the PERT exam on algebra and math by 10 points, almost a 10% reduction of what you had to earn on this exam because the kids couldn't pass it anymore. They couldn't get enough dual enrollees in anymore because of Common Core. So just like Common Core, now the government wants to come in and start messing with police agencies and telling them what they have to do and can't do. Again, this is part of the UN agenda, which I told these folks yesterday, in which they're actually going in and trying to take over every aspect of state and local government. This is exactly what Hitler did when he centralized the government to Berlin through his Enabling Act back in 1933 and took over all of these local governments in Europe and Germany and basically ran everything through the Third Reich. Sharon, what do you think about this? What do you think about, you know, Common Core and the federal government intrusion into the local school system? I mean, what do you think? I mean, you talk to people all the time about this.
Well, two things, Ted. I think that the population, as far as the younger generation, the children that are coming up, have had so many immunizations, and their expectations are so low for them as far as education that we're not expecting enough out of them. And even if we did, they don't really have the capability mentally now to do what they need to do to pass the regular entrance exams or tests that you and I took or our parents took or, you know what I'm saying, generations before us. It's just getting watered down and getting less and less and less. And the thing is, you know, I remember years ago I had seen a show that said, you know, back in, oh my goodness, the 1900s, the beginning of the 1900s, what they expected out of these children as far as academics was just amazing. And they still weren't challenged enough. So it's almost like each generation is getting less and less and less. My mother taught school for 30 years in the public school system, and bless her heart, she stuck with it. But she said, Sharon, I finally, you know, just got so I couldn't take it anymore. She goes, the kids, they just weren't as smart anymore. They didn't have that sharp edge on them anymore. They were just like zombies. And she saw it happen, I mean, over a 30-year period. And so, you know, the Common Core, of course, isn't challenging these kids. But then again, it's just, they're just, so many of them have been just the fluoride and the immunizations, they've been dumbed down, and that's exactly what our government wants, you know, to do to them.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, back in the 80s, after Reagan signed this immunization blanket protection for all these immunization manufacturers, they started increasing the immunization load on these kids because they were making more and more and more money. See, it's nothing like a government mandate forcing you to do something to massively increase the profits of the pharmaceutical corporation. Now, remember, these pharmaceutical corporations are owned by the same companies through their interlocking corporate directorships and stock purchases and backdoor deals as the entertainment organizations and also the news organizations and the media. And so it's all owns back, and it goes back to that Rothschild cartel controlling the money. You know, when all was said and done after the Rockefeller fortune was made with Rockefeller, it was found that he was basically bankrolled by the Rothschilds. You know, when you saw J.P. Morgan, when he died, you know, he had $100 million, so which was a huge fortune back, you know, a couple, you know, 150, 20 years ago. But it was found out that all what he had and what he was supposedly having, he was an agent for the Rothschild Bank. See, this Sabbatean group, this Kabbalist group, this Luciferian group that want to turn the planet upside down and create this new world order, they're doing it because they're basically controlling the money supply. So unless you take this money supply control from them, you're never going to get the planet back. The whole planet's been jacked. It's been hijacked. This happened with the United States, too, back in 1913. That's why Ron Paul kept saying we've got to restore sound money and get rid of this Federal Reserve Bank that's running everything and running the politicians. Well, they could put on unending amounts of money in off-book balance sheets like they've proven they've done with that partial audit that Paul did a few years ago and basically distribute this money to wherever they want to distribute it, and it's not even show up, you know, on the Treasury notes. You know, what happens is they can buy or do anything, and that's why they've pretty much bought up the Fortune 500 corporations in the United States, which is exactly what they did in the early 20s of the Weimar Republic. This is one of the reasons Hitler hated the international banking community so much, because he'd had enough of these people, because they were the same guys, the Rothschilds, were there at the signing of the Versailles Treaty, in which basically enslaved Germany, this massive, massive, massive debt, paying off the entire war for all of these allies in Europe, even though Germany didn't even start the war. And nor did Germany lose World War One. There was an armistice signed. It was a ceasefire. That was it. I mean, Germany wasn't like in rubble like it was at the end of World War Two, and all World War One was a catalyst to the beginning of World War Two. So it always goes back to the international banking, these out-of-control bankers and all the money that's coming in from all the drugs out of Afghanistan and these black op, wet ops, you know, these wet work programs, what they are. They run out like killing people. Here's another one. Silver prices are punching over $20 an ounce now. You know, I'm not a financial planner, nor am I giving any financial advice, but we told our listeners back in January when gold and silver were down to stock up on it. If they had done so, they'd be pretty good. They'd be doing good right now. Also, gold looks like it's heading towards $1,400 an ounce. And also what we need to realize is that all hell literally is breaking loose in Europe as the banking situation has become dire. Deutsche Bank has over $75 trillion in derivatives, and it's a mess. And if Deutsche Bank goes down with a $75 trillion in derivatives, it's going to make Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns look like a joke. It's going to be a joke what's going to happen with Europe. It's going to trickle back over to the United States, and we're going to have a bloodletting that's going to be at least 10 times worse of what we had in 2008. So it's kind of crazy what's happening in Europe. Shell oil is worth it. They're laying off thousands of people more. They're cutting back more and more and more. In addition to that, we have massive, massive, buyback of stocks. Remember, when these corporations get their stocks, they buy these stocks back, and they start having acquisitions and mergers. We talked about this at the end of the year. This is what brings up the stock market and brings up the prices. And the Fed now is going to be held culpable, according to some researches, as far as buying this market up and doing what they've done and causing this massive, massive hyperinflation of the stock market. If we'd allowed the correction to do what it needed to do back in 2008 and allow a bunch of these banks to fail, these Rothschild-owned organizations, then we would have actually started over again on much firmer ground. But pumping more air into a bubble that needed to pop didn't help much at all. What's your next story, Sharon?
Well, I'm back to a nutrition note again. You know, we talk about magnesium so much on the show because how important it is. And now they're saying magnesium lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes and sudden cardiac death, which I found very interesting. Research reveals that magnesium deficiency has now been linked to an increased risk of type 2 diabetes as well as coronary heart disease and sudden cardiac death. The statistics are truly staggering. In adults 20 and older, more than 1 in every 10 people suffer with diabetes, and with people age 65 and older, that number jumps to 1 in 4. Research shows magnesium supplementation could decrease the risk of diabetes. There was a study done out of China's Nantong University that reviewed results of 19 studies focusing on the effect of supplemental magnesium in type 2 diabetes. Results of the analysis published in the Biomedical and Environmental Sciences adds to existing evidence to support a link between higher magnesium intake and a lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes. In reviewing results of 19 studies, the researchers found increasing magnesium intake by 100 milligrams per day was associated with a 16% reduction of diabetic risk. Researchers conducting the review noted the trials show magnesium supplementation improves insulin sensitivity. It also reduces insulin resistance and plasma fasting glucose levels in both diabetics and non-diabetics. And we talk about magnesium so much on this show because over 350 biochemical reactions in the body require magnesium, all the way from having a healthy immune system, strong bones, maintaining normal muscle and nerve function, and the list goes on and on. And we're just hearing more and more and more about magnesium. And we're blessed because we not only have a magnesium that you actually can take internally, but we also have one that you can a topical one that you can actually put on your skin, soak your feet in the salts, and actually your skin actually absorbs it. So, Ted, I'm just excited because we're seeing more and more research about how important magnesium is because it's just not in our food anymore.
Well, we have the soak, foot soak that we do every day, 20 to 40 minutes every in the morning. It's magnesium chloride. It's the only way. It's much better than Epsom salts. And you and I both use it. We have a little foot bath we got off of Amazon. We got the Kindle foot bath. It's like $89. We don't sell them, but they're great little units on Amazon. You can get them, and you got Prime. You have it in 2 days, and that's what we do. It keeps the water temperature constant. We keep it around 100 degrees or so, and we just soak our feet in there while we're doing our emails or writing a letter or doing research or whatever we're doing, and it makes it easy. I get up in the morning. First thing I do, I get a purple stick, and the purple stick is loaded with green tea. Green tea has now been shown to actually reduce the risks of senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease, which I thought was kind of fantastic, which I knew was good for the brain. So every morning I get up and I have a purple stick, which we still have in stock. We're running out of them. There won't be that many left, but we got a bunch of them in stock a couple of weeks ago, about 2 months ago. And it's like a little green tea drink that you drink in the morning. It's got green tea, which means it has a little bit of caffeine in it. Plus it has a whole bunch of vitamins in it, including it's got the methylcobalamin, which is the vitamin B12, the natural form without not being cyanide. And what's interesting about this, every morning I get up, I get out of bed and I get the green tea stick, the purple stick, and I actually put it in my glass of water and I put a teaspoon of powdered vitamin C in it. This is what Linus Pauling used to always do. And I drink that whole 22 ounce tumbler of distilled water. Now remember, once you put anything in distilled water, it's no longer distilled water because it's no longer looking for, hydrogen. And so basically was completely, purified water though when I started with it. I drink that 22 ounces of that, and then I basically sit. And I just sit there and put my feet in the soak bath for a few minutes and check my emails, and 20 minutes goes by. Then I get up and I have a protein shake, and that's how my morning starts every single day. I'm a very routine, very scheduled kind of guy, and that's how we do it. And the results that you've had with the magnesium and I've had with the magnesium, before I started doing the foot bath, I was taking magnesium every night. It's very difficult to absorb it through your digestive tract. So what I was doing, I wasn't getting the magnesium into my blood. The magnesium chloride, when you soak your feet in it, or you put it on your skin through the deodorant, we have this magnesium, or the magnesium sports oil, we've got all these different products with magnesium, it really absorbs directly into the bloodstream that way, and it bypasses the digestive tract. But I couldn't sleep on my left side, you remember that, Sharon, or my left shoulder for years and years, because I had back surgery back in 88. When I started doing that, within about 90 days, I started having so much energy, I started feeling better. One night I rolled over in my sleep and I woke up on my left side and I thought, wait a minute, I just woke up on my left side. And because I had a decompressive laminectomy back in, like I said, 88, I would be limping around for a day if I had slept on my left side, and my shoulder would be hurting. Shoulder didn't hurt, nothing hurt. I thought, whoa, you've got to be kidding me. Magnesium, if you get enough of it in your body like this, it massively reduces the risks of diabetes, and it massively reduces the risks of calcium building up in the arteries and in the body and getting calcium spurs. And it will actually dissolve calcium spurs if you get high enough concentrations. I know Sharon had real bad spinal stenosis. She had a really hard time even closing her fist because her hands had swollen up so much. She really was having a hard time on her hip sleeping at night. That's all gone. That's been gone now for a year and a half, 2 years. It's been absolutely wonderful having a product that works that well. Sharon, anything else you want to add about that?
Well, you know, like, for instance, like the sports oil, it's got arnica in it and a lot of nice essential oils. And there's so many. I remember that, what was that, deep freeze or that stuff I used to get at the chiropractor that, you know, when you have a backache, you don't know what to do and you rub stuff on it. This stuff actually just works incredibly because it actually absorbs into the skin and the magnesium helps to relax it. But also, the other day I was having a little back issues, and I soaked in the bathtub in the magnesium salts. And the next day, I didn't feel anything in my back. And again, with the spinal stenosis, I guess those would be a type of a bone spur, wouldn't they, Ted?
That's exactly what they are. In fact, it was so funny. It was so funny because that's what you did initially when you first started doing this. You soaked in the bathtub in the bath salts every single day for like the first month. And I'll never forget this. You were running around the house singing and carrying on and dancing and just being, in German, you say ganz wild or wild. And I'm like, good grief, how can you, you're 58 years old. How do you have this much energy? He goes, man, Ted, I feel like I'm a teenager. I feel so good. And the only thing I've changed, I started using those bath salts. And so, yeah, so I started doing it too. And I thought, well, I'm not going to let her get that far ahead of me. Here's an interesting article. I mean, we got to jump back on track here because I've got so many stories to cover. We're running out of time. Former Fed President Fisher admits the Fed is culpable of overinflating the market. Now they're admitting it. He says the Fed, Federal Reserve Bank, intentionally overinflated the financial markets to create a wealth effect. Markets are not going to have to go through a corrective process with less support from central banks. He thinks QE3 was a mistake. Well, I think QE1 and QE2 and QE3 was a mistake. He admits the Fed caved to pressure from politicians and bank. That is total lies to keep the price rising. The Fed controls the federal government through the Exchange Stability Fund. The Rothschilds control the government. The Rothschilds don't cave under pressure from the federal government. Are you kidding me? And then he says the Fed is out of ammo at this point. There's an interesting article that he did. And so he goes, while I'm, this guy who wrote the article says, while I'm impressed and pleased to see the admission of these transgressions, which we've been shouting about for years, by a high-ranking member of the Fed like Fisher, I'm depressed, this guy says, how cavaliery, which means he said it with such a flippant attitude, he treats the matter sort of an, oh, well, see, well, there's nothing we can do about it at this point attitude. Guys, listen to me. These guys need to be taken offshore and gotten rid of, okay? Just give them their own little island to live in. They don't need to be here in the United States. It's complete and total nonsense that these guys are actually here doing what they do and continuing to run the show from behind the scenes. Now, remember, the CIA is also involved in this, you know, through the Exchange Stability Fund. That's how all these organizations are funded, through the $1 trillion a year of Afghan heroin that is bought into the United States, which we talked about in depth on this show this past week. So, guys, I want you to know there's a lot of stuff going on, and so, you know, in the markets and the media that you're not aware of. Oh, by the way, Newt Gingrich is now announcing that he's being vetted for the vice presidency of the United States under Donald Trump. Now, don't get me wrong. Gingrich is a huge insider. He'll probably bring a lot more Republican votes. But I personally like Sessions a lot better because he's a true, true, true patriot. Gingrich is going to be giving Trump a really big problem with putting a, you know, crosshairs on it on Trump. I really believe that they wouldn't mind actually having Gingrich in there as a vice president. They're probably trying to make a decision on what to do because they know that the blowback they're getting from letting Hillary go, from all these criminal acts that she did, is getting worse and worse and worse. Also, Trump has now asked Ted Cruz to speak at the convention. So Trump and Cruz has made that announcement, but he said that this is not mean that I'm going to endorse anybody. So Ted Cruz is still screaming about the Constitution. A billionaire child sex offender, Epstein, is now claiming in one of his memoirs to another book that he actually helped start the Clinton Foundation. Now, this is kind of nuts. Let me read you this. Billionaire child sex offender. This guy's a pedophile. Epstein co-founded the Clinton Foundation per Alan Dershowitz newsletter. This is crazy. Attorneys for the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein touted his close friendship with Bill Clinton, and by the way, this Leota jet that had went to these islands with all these little girls that they were having sex with, and Bill Clinton was on that jet a bunch. He said that his friendship with Bill Clinton, and even claimed the billionaire helped start Clinton's controversial family foundation in a 2000 letter aimed at boosting his image during plea negotiations. The 23-page letter, written by the high-powered attorney Alan Dershowitz, was apparently part of an ultimately successful bid to negotiate a plea deal before Epstein could be tried for using underage girls in a sex ring based in Palm Beach, Florida, and his private island estate on the 72-acre Virgin Island home dubbed Orgy Island that Bill Clinton frequented. Epstein spent 13 months in prison and home detention. He should have been in prison for 50 years after agreeing to a plea deal in which he admitted to soliciting underage girls for prostitution. Mr. Epstein was part of the original group that conceived the Clinton Global Initiative, which is described as a project bringing together a global of community of global leaders to devise and implement innovative solutions of the world's most pressing challenges. I mean, this is complete and total nausea to me, Sharon, that these guys like to have sex with these young girls. I mean, as young as 11, 12 years old. And bunch of stinking weirdos, bunch of stinking pedophiles. They all should be, if they really were doing this with these girls, which I believe they were, they could be proven they did this, they need to be taken out back and strung up. I mean, this is awful. Now, I know the Muslims like to do this. It's legal over there, too. But, I mean, gosh, all of this is completely and totally just despicable to me. Here's another article. A girl who was 19 years old, who was mentally challenged and disabled, when approached by TSA workers, was scared, and she basically didn't know what to do. They attacked her, the TSA workers did, slamming her to the ground. Unbelievable. Busted her all up. Blood everywhere. The family is suing the TSA after a head suffered as a result of a TA officer tackling her to the floor. She bounced off the head. Hannah is a St. Jude cancer patient, this young girl, who is partially deaf and blind, and she's a patient at St. Jude's, and she's being treated for brain cancer. Unbelievable. And this poor girl couldn't understand why she was being approached by these guys, got scared, and she tried to escape because she perceived them to be a threat, and they slammed her to the ground, ramming her head into the floor. Okay? Unbelievable that this kind of stuff is happening with TSA. The TSA is like a band of criminals. And, you know, and quite frankly, you know, I'm really happy that we don't fly as much as we used to, because quite frankly, I don't know if I'd have the patience. Guys, we have so many more stories that we're going to cover tomorrow on Austin's show. I pulled up a lot of articles that I simply didn't have time to get to tonight. I want to thank Sharon for being on with me again. She's just awesome to have as a guest. My wife is my best friend and my business partner. I've been blessed to be with her for, you know, 32 years now with four wonderful children. So, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. If you can do one thing for me, just get your multiple vitamins from us. That's all. That's $25. You can do that and just really help support the show. And if everybody who's listening right now just started getting multiple vitamins from us, the entire expense of doing the show will be completely paid for. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thanks again, Sharon, for being on. Remember, tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, also on the Jeff Rentz Network at 7 to 8, and also after Hagman on this same network from 10 to 11, the Brewer and Brewer Report, Ted and Austin Brewer Show is being played. So, guys, we appreciate you. We love you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com.